RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the first edition of the Dark to Light podcast of the new year with Beans. Frank is taking the day off today. He has a bunch of stuff he needs to do. So here I am in the driver's seat for an entire hour. How are you going to stand it? I don't know, because I don't know how I'm going to stand it. So I'm going to do my best. We'll go through a bunch of news. I want to wish everybody a happy, happy, happy new year. I had an absolutely fantastic time this weekend with my friends that came to do a New Year's kind of like soiree. We rang in the new year against Fauci's wishes, and it was grand. I even did a little dance. So it was a lot of fun. And then Saturday we had some, post celebration New Year's Day stuff go on. And thank you to everybody who came to visit me. It was really, really cool. We had a really good time. So thanks for that. So we'll get right into it. See if we can't make an hour out of this. I just have to go over because it's really bothering me. The absolute insanity of the backpedaling that's going on right now in regard to COVID and Omicron and any new variant that comes, and the negative now efficacy being shown by these shots, and just the way they're changing the narrative. And I also think that there needs to be a change in focus from like what the actual tangible effects are of this all on us today versus what it's doing to us mentally. Because as you guys know, Dr. Robert Malone has been talking about something called mass formation psychosis quite a bit. And he was on the Joe Rogan show the other day, and it was a great interview, 3 hours long. Just loved every second of it. I listen to everything at 2x now because I started doing it, and now I can't listen to it normal speed ever, anything. It's always 2x, no matter what. So it was only an hour and a half for me. It was fantastic. And he's been talking about this thing called mass formation psychosis quite a bit lately. And I wanted to kind of pull over that a little bit with you guys for a second, give you my thoughts on it, and get into a little bit more detail, because it's basically that video that I shared a few months back that goes over like mass psychosis or hypnosis of a society and the end of it and what was going on there and stuff like that. So this theory was formulated by Matthias Desmet, a professor of clinical psychology at Ghent University. And it stemmed from him. It's kind of his creation. And he goes over exactly what the conditions are for, you know, this to occur in society, et cetera, so on and so forth. And I don't take anything away from the man. I'm sure he's very credentialed. I've looked him up. I've watched several podcasts with him. However, I always have a little bit of a hard time when a theory is so widely adopted that is really only being hypothesized by one person. So, you know, Malone kind of grabbed onto this, and I'm not saying I think it's wrong. I would just really like to see some other perspectives from some other professionals about what we're dealing with right now. What other perspectives about this mass formation psychosis theory are there? Is there another explanation for it? Or is there someone who can add to it? Or is there someone who can, you know, dispute it using some examples or whatever? Who knows? But I'm not seeing any other experts in the field other than some of these, you know, other than some of these doctors and stuff who have said, you know what, this makes sense. Talk about it. And the issue is this, this isn't an issue. It's a beautiful thing. And I think this is happening on a global scale all over the country, is that people are waking up. They're being red pilled. As a matter of fact, Dr. Malone says that he was multidimensionally red pilled. And even in his latest Substack, he talks about this. As a matter of fact, because I'm alone, I can pause and pull it up. So he writes, what if the largest experiment on human beings in history is a failure? A seasoned stock analyst colleague texted me a link today, and when I clicked it open, I could hardly believe what I was reading. What a headline. And this is something I was going to talk about with you today, so why not? Indiana Life Insurance CEO says deaths are up 40% among people ages 18 to 64. This headline is a nuclear truth bomb masquerading as an insurance agent's dry manila envelope full of actuarial tables. People frequently write to Jill and myself, people we've never met. They call, they arrive at the farm by appointment or unannounced. They fill in our email boxes with their inquiries. They all want something, time, attention, and interview. Many want to tell us about their fear, illness, nightmares, or what often seems like outright paranoid conspiracies. And then over time, those fears and conspiracies keep getting confirmed. As Jan, I can never say his last name, he hates Jan from Epoch Times, recently said to me, "It's getting harder and harder to tell which ones are mere conspiracy theories and which are true reality." One farm visitor told me of his foreshadowing massive numbers of deaths within 3 years consequent to the genetic vaccines, and that this was all about the Great Reset and the depopulation agenda of the World Economic Forum. I tried to reassure him that, in my opinion, this was highly unlikely, while privately thinking about how easily people fall into this type of conspiracy ideation and how I need to be careful to avoid going there when confronting so many public health decisions that appear either incompetent or nefarious. At the time, I only knew of the WEF as the host of a big annual party in Davos, Switzerland, where the uber rich get to watch TED Talks, drink the best wine, see and be seen. Silly me. What a long, strange trip this has been. I doubt that even Hunter S. Thompson could have imagined in his most drug and booze addled state. Suffice it to say, I nominate Ralph Steadman as official illustrator of the SARS-CoV-2 pandemic, but I'm wandering from a point that I'm afraid to clearly state. It is starting to look to me, says Malone, like the largest experiment on human beings in recorded history has failed. And if this rather dry report from a senior Indiana life insurance executive holds true, then the crimes against humanity push for convening the Nuremberg trial starts to look a lot less quixotic and a lot more prophetic. The study, or the health insurance mogul or life insurance guy, this is from the Just the News report. The head of Indianapolis-based insurance company One America said the death rate is up a stunning 40% from pre-pandemic levels among working age people. So everybody says, oh, yeah, you know, that's just everybody dying from COVID. And he says, we are seeing the highest death rates we have seen in the history of this business, not just at One America, says his CEO. The data is consistent across every player in this business. One America is a $100 billion insurance company that has its headquarters in Indianapolis since 1877. They have 2,400 employees and sell life insurance, including group life insurance, to employers in the state. Davis has said the increase in deaths represent huge, huge numbers, and that it's not elderly people, but primarily working age people, 18 to 64, who are the employees of companies that have group life insurance plans through One America. And what we just saw in the third quarter, he says, we're seeing it continue into the fourth quarter. The death rates are up 40% what they were. Just to give you an idea of how bad that is, a three sigma or one in 200 year catastrophe would be a 10% increase over pre-pandemic. So 40% is just unprecedented, unheard of. What's driving it? Most of the claims for deaths being filed are not classified as COVID-19. Insane. And, you know, basically Malone goes on to say that he wishes that this stuff wasn't true, that what he fears isn't true. He wishes that, you know, all of the conspiracy theorists that we've been for all these years and just in the recent past, our conspiracy theory selves, were all wrong and just crazy. He wishes that that was true. But unfortunately, all of the evidence thus far is pointing to it not being true, that we're not just conspiracy theorists, that, you know, things that we say are going to happen bear out happening. And all of these very well-respected professionals with CVs hundreds of pages long are being shunned and cast out by an establishment that cannot stand to have them speak truth about what's going on right now. And they're waking up for the first time. These are people who have been in the medical establishment for decades. These are people who have been a normal, you know, professional at a very high level, Ivy League institutions, people who have gone their entire careers, you know, thinking that all of the folks out there talking about all of the stuff that we talk about are crazy. And here they are realizing that for the first time, everything they've ever known in their entire lives is a lie. And Frank and I have talked about this before. Like, we don't have time for you guys to figure it all out now. We don't have time for you to fall down the wrong rabbit holes. We don't have time for you to explore things. We need you to stay focused. And so it's crazy watching this progression. Like I told you, I've been watching this in some of the doctor forums that I've been privileged to be a part of. I've been watching this happen, you know, privately among groups of friends who are very, very, very high level professionals in their fields who are like, oh my God, like this is happening all over the world and all over the country right now. And to ignore it is silly. And you know what? They can't ignore it anymore. And that's why I keep saying, like, anybody that's a blue check mark conservative that's still on Twitter, I feel like they're like just I don't mean like an everyday user, like I wasn't a blue check mark. But I mean like the people, like the quote influencers with big names that are still on Twitter tweeting about how bad Twitter is. Come on, guys, make the jump. There are several opportunities. There are several platforms for you to choose from. Get off of there because nothing good happens. Nothing good happens. I know some people would argue, well, they're still there. You're going to get banned anyway. Like, give them the benefit. Don't give them the benefit of banning you. Just leave. Just leave. That's why I left YouTube and went to Rumble. No, I didn't get banned from YouTube. I was actually making some very little money on YouTube. Very little. But I was like, screw this. If I can't share truth on this platform, I'm not staying here. I'm not staying here. And anyway, I got a little bit off track. But my point is that all of these guys are waking up at the same exact time and it's happening around the world. And now it's happening to the double shotted people who are realizing that their shot cocktail and then maybe even their booster has done absolutely nothing. And in many cases, proves to be negatively efficacious against the Omicron variant specifically. Which there's argument about, not argument in a bad way, but debate about where it came from, how it was created, if it was created by who. We've talked about this. We've kind of conspired together about theories about this. But there's, you know, there's talk going on about all that. But it seems that the vaccines are negatively efficacious, I should say, against this vaccine, quote. There is an article that came out on December 21st, so some time ago, but there is data that is now showing that the vaccine makes you more likely to get COVID than if you weren't vaccinated. It's not zero anymore. It's not just a baseline level, but you are more likely to be infected with Omicron if you are vaccinated than if you are unvaccinated. If somebody could make sense of this for me. And so now we're in a place where the powers that be are completely flat-footed. They don't know what to do with themselves. They're slipping all over like they're skating around in an ice rink like Sasha Cohen. Skating all over, slipping around, and they are trying somehow to forget the past 2 years or make people forget the past 2 years because every single narrative that they have thrown at us in the under the guise of control or under the guise of keeping us safe, but really for control, is blowing up in their faces. Like they're literally having to come out and say this to cover themselves. Here.
What do you tell parents? Are cloth masks just not good enough anymore?
Cloth masks aren't going to provide a lot of protection. That's the bottom line. This is an airborne illness. We now understand that. And a cloth mask is not going to protect you from a virus that spreads through airborne transmission. It could...
This is Dr. Scott Gottlieb, the former FDA commissioner, saying that cloth masks don't work. This is an airborne virus, and we know that now. So you're telling me it took you 22 months to know, or 24 months now, to know that COVID-19 is an airborne virus and that cloth masks won't work to stop the spread of it? I remind you of the clip by Anthony Fauci, where in the beginning he said, no, you know, save the N95 masks for the healthcare. He wanted to save the N95 masks for the healthcare professionals because they didn't want to lose all their PPE. And so they told everybody else not to wear masks, not to worry about it. You know, it might help blocks some spittle here and there, but it's not going to do anything. And then within like 30, you know, within a few hours had turned around and said, yeah, everybody has to put these cloth diapers over their face. Doesn't matter what it's made out of. Make it pretty. Crochet it with your mother's freaking, yarn. Put it over your face. Hide your face from the rest of the world. Keep your kids specifically in these face socks. Let them breathe in all the crap that's all over them. And, you know, outlets like Uncovered DC were reporting over a year and a half ago that these masks don't work. Daniel Babinski's article on masking comes up in my head. First of all, we were absolutely raked over the coals over that. It has borne out to be 100% solid truth. Solid truth. July 15th, 2020. Imagine it's called a scientific look at the mask fallacy and why we're told to wear them. Imagine a large grizzly bear is terrorizing your neighborhood. You have a powerful bear gun and potent bear spray that will make the bear go away or allow you to eliminate it if it attacks you. But your government tells you not to use those tools. Instead, they insist you camouflage yourself, hunker down, and hope the bear doesn't get you. That about sums up COVID-19 in America. We have powerful methods for getting rid of the virus if one gets a bad infection, but instead we're told to wear masks and stay 6 feet apart, and no large gatherings either, unless you're protesting. And they go into, he goes into hydroxychloroquine in here, and then gets into the mask fiasco, and then he gets into the following the money about the coronavirus task force and masking, and then he gets into all the studies about masking. This article was one of the most downloaded or read articles on Uncover DC. As a matter of fact, I just caught it stolen somewhere else. We did this in July of 2020, but it took Dr. Gottlieb here until the entire thing comes crashing down to pretend as though this has never been something that they've ever recommended to anybody.
Protect better through droplet transmission, something like the flu, but not something like this coronavirus.
Let me get this straight. Masks protect you against the flu. Give me a break. Wake up. It ain't happening, guys. So there's that. There's that. And then there's the ever-changing guidelines that they're going through right now, where they say, where they say, okay, you guys don't need to quarantine. If you get COVID, you can, you know, leave within 5 days. Even if you're sick, if your symptoms are lessening, you can go back out into society. Here's why, guys. They vaccinated all their damn healthcare workers and every single employee in every company who was, you know, prodded into getting the shot. There are obviously those who have done it willingly, and they're all sick. All of them. There's nobody to work, and their quarantine rules, the way they had them, are completely shutting down every last piece of this economy, which is exactly what, you know, was what their goal was in the early days. But now that they have mandated all these vaccines and they're going to look like complete and total a-holes, they've gone backwards on everything, and now you can go out sick. I mean, I've got videos of nurses saying they're telling me that I can go to work when I'm still sick and that I can only go to work. I can only drive to work, stay there, and then come home. And then another thing that's just blowing my mind is something that we've all been talking about for 2 full years. And I know that you guys all know this already and you understand what's going on, but these are some of the things that are waking people up. Here's from Yahoo News, December 31st, 2021. Many people hospitalized in the Omicron surge are there for other reasons and have only mild COVID-19. We have talked about this thousands of times. Thousands. They are testing every walking thing and even inanimate objects on the planet right now. So now that everybody, for the most part, all these people that are in hospitals or for whatever reason are vaccinated, and a large percentage of them, they can't have vaccinated people in the hospital with COVID, you see, it would look very poorly on them. So most of the people that are in the hospital are there for other reasons. Forget that, you know, every single test was counting as a positive, no matter when you were in, like what you were there for, whether you were there to have your appendix out or, if you were there because you were sick with COVID, every time you took a COVID test, you counted as one case. Forget that. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised, guys, if within the next week they stop counting cases altogether, because they went from severe disease hospitalization and death in the beginning to constantly counting how many cases there are. And there are so many tens of thousands of millions of cases of COVID right now that they can't do that anymore. I will guarantee you the CDC just throws their hands up and says, we're not tracking this anymore. They stop tracking breakthrough infections. What are they going to do now? These vaccinated people are looking around like, excuse me. And then there's a lot of them that say the same thing over and over and over and over again. And I shared this on my Telegram yesterday. Makes me absolutely pissed off. Lloyd Austin. As my doctor made clear to me, my fully vaccinated status and the booster I received in early October have rendered this infection much more mild than it would have otherwise been, and I am grateful for that. Everybody's grateful that they've gotten the booster shot and it's rendered their illness much less severe, because there's any way to know that whatsoever. There's any way to know what you, person A, would have felt like if you didn't have the vaccine? Or would you even be sick, Lloyd Austin? You have forced your entire military to get these vaccines and they're not doing jack squat to protect them from the COVID-19 virus. All they're doing is damaging them in untold ways that in some cases we may not know about for a few years. In other cases, we're finding out thanks to the insurance CEO who went and told us some information about the policies his company's going to have to pay out on now. That's when you're going to start to see a real difference. When health insurance companies are having to pay out for all these chronic diseases and in doctor's appointments that people are going to, and the pharmaceutical companies are skating by on that liability. And when life insurance companies are going to have to start paying out on all these life insurance policies that they didn't expect they'd need to pay out on healthy people that they've done physicals and screenings on to give policies to, that's when you're going to start to see the world writ large say, well, wait a second. Now this is affecting my bottom line. I don't want to be responsible for paying for this crap. This wasn't my fault. You're supposed to live till you're 90. I'm not supposed to have to pay out crap. Maybe we will have bought and sold this company. Here, let's listen to this article quickly. I'm going to read a little snippet of it about COVID-19 and Omicron. It drives me insane. A significant proportion of people hospitalized with COVID-19 in recent weeks were admitted for other reasons, according to health officials and government data. Why did it take you 2 years? And this is also, I'm going to read more, but this is also because, listen, we learned a lesson about how hospitals work, right? It's not that they don't have enough beds for people. It's that they can't staff nurses to the proper ratios. And there are absolute nightmare scenarios rolling out from hospitals. They're bringing in untrained healthcare professionals who have barely made it out of school to do very complicated medical procedures as nurses in these hospitals, because they fired all of their unvaccinated nurses and they don't have enough staff to staff the beds for the people coming in, not just with COVID, but with any other condition they may have, up to and including vaccine injury, which if the number of deaths is any reason, you're seeing a lot of trips to the ER. Just anecdotally, how many stories have you read about people? You could, again, throw a rock and see a vaccine injured person. And I am so passionate about this because it is the biggest crime against humanity we have ever seen on a global scale. What they are doing to humanity is hellish. And we need to wake up as many damn people as we possibly can. Here we go. Dr. Anthony, it says this. The exact scale of the phenomenon in the U.S. is not recorded in federal statistics, but has been noted anecdotally. And it's not recorded in federal statistics because the CDC and the government was paying out hospitals for their COVID patients. So, yeah, of course, it's not recorded in federal statistics. We don't want that getting out. who died with COVID or from COVID, that would have completely ruined their entire narrative. And I'm honestly at the point now where I've seen enough to start really, really, everybody was asking me, why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? I get it all the time. And looking at some timelines and when patents were filed, I think, honestly, when this virus didn't do exactly what they thought it may do in terms of, you know, mortality rates, this is a conspiracy theory of mine, folks. They knew the vaccine rollout was coming and they forced this vaccine on everybody because they knew this would happen. This was all about getting shots in people's arms and how effective they could be at doing it. Since all Dr. Fauci, the chief medical advisor to the White House, the most well compensated person in the entire country on the government dole, even more well compensated than the president himself, which I'm not saying the president deserves more money every year, which certainly Joe Biden doesn't. But I'm just saying he says the phenomenon specifically occurs in children. OK, here is their way to cover up the children being injured by vaccines or getting more serious illness. Now, again, all anecdotal, more serious illness from Omicron than they would have in the past. Since all hospital admissions are tested for COVID, Fauci said, many are hospitalized with COVID as opposed to because of COVID. The real reason for hospitalization might be a broken leg or appendicitis or something like that. Well, yeah, appendicitis for sure. Those cases are skyrocketing. It's a side effect of vaccination. I'm now all of a sudden people are hospitalized with, not from. If you go back about 8 months when they didn't have to cover up their vaccine nightmare, every single person in the hospital who tested positive for COVID, symptomatic or not, because the tests are crap, was a positive COVID case who was in the hospital on their death's door being subjected to remdesivir and put on ventilators when they started to drown. This kind of stuff just drives me absolutely insane. A similar thing can happen with adults. Citing an unnamed D.C. area health official, journalist Julie Zosmer-Wheel wrote in a series of tweets that people with mild COVID who test positive are still counted in the headline hospitalization stats. We should stop doing that right now. We should stop doing that right now. That's just incorrect data. Are you going to go backwards? Are you going to go retroactive on us, guys? Other countries have produced data noting the same phenomenon of incidental COVID cases. Only now, not during Delta, not during Alpha, never before, until now, when they know that their vaccines are going to be exposed for all the world to see. They need to make it seem less so they can save some face, but it's not going to work. In South Africa, hold on a second, Chris Hobson, the head of the umbrella group NHS Providers in England, which represents individual parts of the health system, said that the level of incidental COVID admissions was a key factor in how senior managers were planning their hospital capacity. In South Africa, the first nation to record a surge in Omicron cases, a report from its Medical Research Council also found a high rate of incidental cases. 76% of the 166 patients in one region, they were admitted with incidental COVID cases. But don't fret. While patients having COVID incidentally is less worrying than them having severe COVID, it doesn't mean that there's nothing to worry about. Everybody still fear. As a matter of fact, feels fear so much. Fear so much because we've got something, guys. We've got something bad. We've got something bad. And I put this on my Telegram last week when it was sent to me. We have the flu-rona. The flu-rona. Listen to this. Absolutely insane. The article was originally posted, virus panic. First case of flu rona, COVID and flu merged to form horror double infection. Everybody run. The flu rona is on its way. Horrible, horrible, horrible horror of a double infection. A mixture of the flu and coronavirus, dubbed flu rona, has been detected in Israel. Sirens go off. You're not safe. Flu season's back with a vengeance. It's merging with coronavirus, and now you're in trouble, right? The Israeli Health Ministry is studying the results. The woman presented with relatively mild symptoms of the disease. However, the health ministry is studying the combination to detect if it could cause a more serious illness. So from the headline, virus panic, first case of flu rona, to She has a mild case, but we're going to look in to see if it gets worse. She's being discharged from the hospital, and there's some evidence that she was literally in there to give birth. She had no harsh symptoms. And they also go on to say that last year, they didn't witness flu cases among pregnant or birthing women. They didn't witness flu cases because they stopped looking for flu and everyone had COVID. And so all, like we talked with Dr. McCullough about, all of those patients that went into hospital with the flu were treated like second-class citizens, locked in an ICU ward, unable to see their family, given drugs that would never work against the flu and killed. I wonder when the data is going to bear that out. Are you going to release that data, Fauci? Anyone? Bueller? Here is Chris Hayes. Listen to this.
Nearly 66% of the eligible population. That has transformed the work level and experience of the pandemic for the vast majority of those people. And of course, there are still people, many people, millions who are immunocompromised or who are otherwise vulnerable due to age or medical conditions.
Hold on a second.
But
hold
for
on
the people
a
who don't fall into that category.
Hold on. Did he just say that it may be dangerous for the immunocompromised? And hold on a second.
150 million people, maybe or more. Those people who are vaccinated, particularly those who are boosted, you know, the risk, the personal risk of being exposed to this went from something that we hadn't really dealt with specifically like this before in our lifetimes. We hadn't quite had an illness this infectious and this possible to cause serious illness to something that does look more like the flu.
Oh,
and the flu, of course, can still be dangerous, kills tens of thousands of Americans every year, but we don't orient our lives around the flu. So that's closer to the level of risk that, you know, 200 million Americans or less than that are now dealing with. And then when you add in the sheer exhaustion many people feel, and I don't have to tell you this, I'm sure, because you're just feeling this yourself, many of you, with the lengths of this disruption in their lives, obviously the politics of the pandemic are just completely different than they were earlier in the pandemic.
Oh, are they, Chris Hayes? The politics are different, are they? Why? Because now Biden is president and you can't use this anymore because you've got all of your little minions vaccinated and they're all pissed off that it's not working. We have been saying this for 2 years, And now all of a sudden it's okay for your cocky little behind to sit there on MSNBC. Listen again.
Nearly 66% of the eligible population. That has transformed the risk level and experience of the pandemic for the vast majority of those people. And of course, there are still people, many people, millions who are immunocompromised or who are otherwise vulnerable due to age or medical conditions. But for the people who don't fall into that category, and we're talking about, you know, 150 million people, maybe or more, those people who are vaccinated, particularly those who are boosted, you know, the risk, the personal risk of being exposed to this went from something that we hadn't really dealt with specifically like this before in our lifetimes. We hadn't quite had an illness this.
So what he's basically telling you is that everything that we've been doing for the past 2 years was nonsense and that we should really just continue living our lives because, you know, the politics have changed, guys. The politics are different now. So much I can say about just that clip alone. Seriously, Chris Hayes, seriously, what happens as ADE takes a foothold in these folks? What's Chris Hayes going to say in the next mutation? There's something like only 3% of unvaccinated people getting infected with Omicron. Wow. Just wow. It's and here is the difference in the CDC guidelines. December 27th, 2021, the CDC updates and shortens recommended isolation and quarantine period for general population. Given what we currently know about COVID-19 and the Omicron variant, CDC is shortening the recommended time for isolation from 10 days for people with COVID-19 to 5 days, if asymptomatic, followed by 5 days of wearing a mask when around others. What kind of mask would you like us to wear, CDC? Does it need to be an N95? What kind of mask works now, CDC? What kind of mask works? Then on December 29th, if it changed to, given what we currently know about COVID, 2 days later, given what we currently know about COVID-19 and the Omicron variant, CDC is shortening the recommended time for isolation for the public. People with COVID-19 should isolate for 5 days, and if they are asymptomatic or their symptoms are resolving without fever for 24 hours, i.e., even if you're still sick and you've got a sniffle, if your symptoms are resolving, You don't have to stay locked up in your house for two straight weeks. My daughter wouldn't have had to stay in her room, not in her room, but you know what I'm saying, home from school for 24 days because her brother tested positive for COVID and she never even had a sniffle. She missed a full month of school because of these dumb ass, stupid, non-science-based, tyrannical rules that this government has put down upon us. And now they're saying, oh, it's okay. Even if you're still sick, as long as you don't have a fever, like they've, it's always been, if you're without fever for 24 hours, you're not contagious anymore. Every illness, and like Chris Hayes says, you know, the flu kills tens of thousands of people a year. What is happening? I'll tell you what's happening, guys. They have to cover their asses. So literally, they're going back to what this whole thing should have looked like from the beginning. But we're killing grandma. We're killing grandma. And now that people aren't getting boosted and boosted and boosted and boosted, the boosted are now fully vaccinated. The two-shot people are unvaccinated. And they're looking around like, what in the actual? And they're saying, like, I shouldn't have to get a booster. And I'm saying, I shouldn't have to get a shot. Do you see how it works now? Now does it make sense to you? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that you didn't get it the first go round. Thank you so much for your cowardice because you're the reason we're here right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And no, I'm not talking about the people who struggled with this decision, up crying every single night, having to choose between their livelihood and getting these shots. I'm talking about the people that went out and jumped up and down online, excited to get the shot, couldn't wait to get the shot, chastised and put aside everybody who didn't get the shot. That's who I'm talking about. And as I was saying in the very beginning, I think we really need to start focusing a little bit more on a grander scale about what the psychological reasoning for this is. What is happening to humanity right now on different levels that is causing people to be in whatever camp they're in, and how did they do it? And will they ever be able to do this again? Part of me worries it's like the boy who cried wolf and they have something bigger waiting for us and no one's going to believe them. Then they'll really get their way. Like, there's so many different ways to look at this. None of them pan out because, like, literally, I'm telling you, the people around the world are waking the hell up. Crazy. And not to be outdone, just in, the FDA grants emergency authorization for Pfizer's booster injection in children and teens age 12 to 15. The booster injection for children in the U.S. receives emergency authorization solely on the basis of real-world data from Israel. No clinical trials are cited whatsoever in the press release of this. We have to give them the shot to see what happens. We have to read the bill to see what's, we have to pass the bill to see what's in it. Today, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration amended the EUA for the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine. Also, another thing, I totally screwed up on how the PCR test works. It's not light amplification, it's heat. And I just got it wrong. So I apologize about that. I think it was last week that show went on. So I just wanted to let everybody know. Today, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration amended the EUA for the COVID-19 vaccine to expand the use of a single booster dose to include use in individuals 12 through 15, shorten the time between the completion of a primary vaccine and a booster dose to at least 5 months, allow for a third primary series dose for certain immunocompromised children 5 through 11. Boosters are now authorized for people 12 and older. The agency has determined. Well, thank God for that, because you've determined everything else so poorly that I trust you on this, shooting it in an untested freaking experiment into our children. I can't. I'm a mom. I can't do this. It's terrible. I'm a mom. And even if you're not a mom, goodness. The agency has determined that the protective health benefits of a single booster dose of the Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine to provide continued protection against COVID-19 and the associated serious consequences that can occur, including hospitalization and death, outweigh the potential risks. The FDA reviewed real-world data from Israel, including safety data from more than 6,300 individuals 12 through 15 who received a booster dose at least 5 months following the completion of the primary two-dose vaccine series. These additional data enabled the FDA to reassess the benefits and risks of the use of a booster in the younger and adolescent population in the setting of the current surge in COVID-19 cases. The data shows there were no new safety concerns following a booster in this population. There were no new cases of myocarditis or pericarditis reported to date in these individuals. That's it for today. I gave you 43 minutes or so. Minus what I deleted because I made a mistake. It's been a lonely show, but I had to get that stuff off my chest. Lots of fun stuff coming this year. On January 6th, which would be Thursday. That's weird. Well, this week, we will have attorney Aaron Seary on the show to talk about his lawsuit against the FDA. He's the one who's suing for the Pfizer safety records that will be held for 75 years if he's not successful. That's how long they want to be able to release the safety data on the vaccine that they've just extended the EUA for children on. That's how long. And I will then have next week Dr. Christina Parks, a brilliant, brilliant woman. I cannot wait to let you guys hear from her if you haven't heard about her already. Also, on Telegram, we have started something called the COVID Truth Network. And I will put a link to this below in the show notes on Telegram. It's about 30 of us right now, where we're all posting legitimately sourced factual data about COVID-19 and everything else that goes with it in there. Make sure you check that out. Kanako is in there, and me and Dr. McCullough and Chief Nerd and a whole bunch of other folks. Simon Goddick, Christina, Dr. Parks is in there. Lots of people in there. And it just launched yesterday. I'm super excited about it because it's a great resource. So if you're on Telegram, go ahead and load on up. I think they're creating an account to parallel on Getter. We even have our own logo. If you are a smart scientist, check out the logo. Let me know what you think. There's something hiding in there. So take a look. Also, if you would like to support Uncover DC, I would love you forever and ever and ever, even more than I love you now, because we really could use it. You can go to uncoverdc.com/support to support us. You can also find that information in the show notes. We have a lot of really cool stuff planned, including an interview with Dr. Ryan Cole, which I'm trying to get finalized, and Dr. Robert Malone, coming up on the Dark to Late podcast as soon as we can get schedules settled. So I've got a ton of questions for those guys. I'm excited and I love you. So you have been listening to the very first edition of the Dark to Light podcast of 2022 with Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com until Wednesday. Later. Whatever.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.